line as the Bucks go the other way with it. Beverly's into the front court now for Milwaukee. Takes it left of the lane. Gets it to Lopez. He fades and fires and flips it up and in with a jump hook. Again, no quitting this Bucks team. And Rick Carlisle. Oh, a delay of game warning. I thought he was already about ready to use the timeout. Played just 53 seconds here in this fourth quarter. That's about the amount of time the Bucks used to spend their first timeout in the third quarter when Chris Middleton had his left ankle stepped on. He's had both ankles stepped on here in this series. It has been a slog as the playoffs often are. Unfortunately, the Bucks have not been able to withstand it with another injury to Damian Lillard, taking him out of the mix tonight. Here's Nesmith on the right wing. A head fake drives in on Lopez. He couldn't finish. And the rebound pulled down by Jackson. Here comes Milwaukee now with some momentum. Andre Jackson feeds to the corner. Crowder out top to Lopez. He casts up the long three, and he plants it right in the heart of the cylinder. And there is that timeout from Rick Carlisle. 10:32 to go in the fourth. The Bucks not going away just yet. It was once a 17-point lead. It is down to six. The Bucks aren't done as they continue to fight and claw, shorthanded, but not to be deterred. We'll come back. 98-92, Pacers out in front by six after these words here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its seven lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Four.
98-92, Bucks trailing by six, but in the midst of a little run here as they came into the quarter trailing by 12 here on a 14-3 run now in the last 2 minutes and 39 seconds going back to the third quarter and right back in this thing again. Every time you want to count this Milwaukee team out, they keep battling and keep clawing. We saw 10 lead changes in the first half. Bucks have not led here in the second half as we sit. Just about 10 and a half minutes to play here in regulation. And let's see. We'll tell you this. Our broadcast, as always, presented in part by Pick and Save. They are the official grocer of the Bucks. With a Pick and Save Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points, free delivery, and more. Go to pickandsave.com/boost for details. Pick and Save, fresh for everyone. And go Bucks. Indiana basketball going left to right. Pacers clad in the bright gold uniforms that they've been wearing all series long. Their statement edition with the blue numbers and lettering is the Bucks in green with the white numbers and lettering. It is Miles Turner at the top of the arc, joined by Nembhard, Halliburton, Siakam, and Nesmith. The Bucks playing some aggressive defense with four to shoot. Neesmith's way out top. Drives inside. Attacks. Scoops to the hoop and just missed. It would have been a three-point play opportunity. And he really pulled a rabbit out of his hat there because Neesmith was about 35 feet away from the rim and that shot clock was inside of 3 seconds. But he manages to split the defense and finds himself going to the free throw line for what will be the 12th and 13th free throw attempts of the night for this Indiana team. Pacers got a game winner on the three-pointer, or I should say the three-point play from Tyrese Halliburton with 1.6 seconds left. That was the fifth game winner in a playoff game for the Pacers all time. First free throw is good. Three of those five have come against the Bucks. You go back to Game 5, 2000. It was Travis Best in the first round. Dale Davis, Game 2 in 99 in the first round. So the Bucks have been victims to more than a few of those against this Indiana team as the second free throw is good for Neesmith. 100-92. Lead is back to 8 now for Indiana. Crowder moves ahead into the front court. He'll hand to Lopez. Lopez to Middleton on the near wing, directing traffic. He fires up a three, and he gets the contact on Neesmith. That is Chris Middleton calling, know your personnel. Well, he knows that young man better than just about anybody, and he knew Neesmith was right near him and managed to get the whistle. Oh, they're not going to say it was an active shooting, though, so it's not a three-pointer, three shots. It's going to just be team foul number one for Indiana, so not a huge loss for the Pacers there. For Neesmith, it goes as his third foul, though. Middleton between the rings, hands it to Lopez. Lopez was loose on the dribble, and there's a reason for that. He was fouled. Miles Turner fouled him on the floor. So another foul on the floor. So two quick ones on the floor for the Pacers. As we sit with 9:44 remaining here in quarter number four. Andre Jackson sends it in to Lopez. Lopez top of the arc, now to Middleton. Middleton left wing. Defended by Neesmith. Puts it on the floor with a left-hand dribble. He pulls up mid-range and he drains it. Good-looking shot for Chris Middleton there. He's got 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists on 8 of 19 shooting. Tyrese Halliburton trying to turn the corner on Andre Jackson. Sends it to Turner. Turner on the near wing right. Defended by Lopez, top of the arc. Crossing him over. Pulls up just inside the arc and he cans it. Good-looking shot there for Miles Turner, who hits it from 21 feet out. 8-point lead again for Indiana. Here comes Beverly the other way. Around a screen. Boy, Middleton just got clobbered and knocked down. He is grimacing as he's on the deck. Boy, he's been wearing this one. I'll tell you, he is going to feel this one in the morning. And in fact, I would venture to guess he's feeling this one right now. Nembhard went blasting into him, fighting around a screen. So another quick foul for the Pacers. All three of them have been on the floor on the last two possessions. We've only played 3 minutes, though, in this quarter. Here comes Crowder driving in on Siakam. Siakam played him well, knocked it away, but Jackson comes away with a loose ball. He has it ripped free by Neesmith, and then he's going to commit the foul. Neesmith takes exception. Middleton pulls Jackson away and says, we're not doing this again. So it is, let's see if they give him, I got a feeling it is going to be a clear path type situation here. Let's see if they give him a free throw on top of it. Or a take foul. No, I'm surprised they didn't give him a take foul. So Jackson checks out of the game. Andre Jackson with his third foul. We haven't seen as many of those take fouls here in the second half of this season as we did early. So here comes the inbound pass from Tyrese Halliburton as he gets it to Neesmith. Now back to Halliburton. Halliburton hands it off to Nembhard. Nembhard crosses the timeline in the front court with 8:48 to play here in regulation. Played overtime last time these teams played. Do we have more of that in store tonight? Pacers would like to think not. Here's a three-pointer as Halliburton left it short from the top of the arc. Could not connect from 28 feet out as Middleton goes the other way. He's in the front court now. Slings it off to Crowder. They work it to Beverly. Beverly in the corner. Bucks do not have their full complement of scorers, that is for sure, but they have acquitted themselves well through it anyway. Middleton, good ball movement. Swings it over to Connaughton. Connaughton just can't hit the three. So Pat Connaughton now 2 of 6, 0 of 2 from three-point range in this game. On the other side of things, it's Halliburton working his way around the defense. Out top to Turner, and Turner has been a Bucks killer in this series. Fifth three-pointer of the night for Miles Turner, who has 15 threes now for the series. By the way, the NBA record for a center in a series is 22. Nikola Jokic has that record. Here's a three-pointer from a center as Brook Lopez couldn't answer. Rebound batted at by Middleton, but Nembhard comes away with a loose ball. 7:37 to play in the fourth. 105-94. Pacers with the lead in the ball. Siakam gets shoved. And again, Indiana has answered Milwaukee's run with one of their own. It just seems like Indiana has been... They've known that they have the advantage in personnel in this game, but at times they've, for lack of a better term, they have played with their food a little bit here tonight. So Crowder gets called for what will be the Bucks' third team foul. Here comes the inbound pass. Nembhard will send it in. Gets it to Siakam. Back to Nembhard around that logo at midcourt. He's left of the free throw line extended. Passes back out. Turner drains another one. Man, oh, man. This guy has been absolutely brilliant. Tied a season high with 6 three-pointers on that shot right there. And the Pacers now on an 8-0 scoring run as the fans celebrate here at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. 108-94, Indiana trying to take a commanding 3-1 lead against the shorthanded Bucks. We're back in a moment here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Flynn in the middle of the floor. His game has really stepped up in the second half.
Since he got the BMO Bucks debit MasterCard, he's been carrying this Bucks team. And I mean that literally. He's at the grocery store, but the team's in his wallet.
Here's a tap. And he's bought some asparagus. What a play.
Carry your team with you when you use the BMO Bucks debit MasterCard. Plus, enjoy up to 20% off Bucks merchandise at the Pro Shop at Pfizer Forum. Visit BMO.com/bankcard for more details. Banking products are subject to approval and are provided in the U.S. by BMO Bank and a member FDIC.
Hi, the next time you have something special planned or your business has corporate travel demands, consider our Go Right Way chauffeured services. Our sedans and SUVs offer the utmost in comfort, privacy, and elegance. With the largest chauffeured fleet in the state, we'll be there whenever you need us. To book your chauffeured service today, visit GoRightWay.com. Go Right Way, preferred transportation provider of the Milwaukee Bucks.
At We Energies, we're committed to building a bright, sustainable energy future. We're investing in clean energy projects like solar, wind, and battery storage. As a leader in the decarbonization effort, our goal is to achieve net zero carbon emissions from our generation fleet by 2050. It's part of our plan to provide the affordable, reliable, and clean energy you depend on. Learn more at weenergies.com. We Energies, people you can trust, energy you can depend on. This message was paid for by the stockholders of WEC Energy Group.
Catch Milwaukee Bucks basketball.
Giannis, bring in the goods!
On Bally Sports.
Dame time, Milwaukee!
The clutch shots.
Huge three-point shot! It has electrified this building!
The superstar highlights.
Giannis! Oh, wow!
The can't-miss moments.
Chris Middleton, and one! It's his night!
Watch the Bucks on Bally Sports or stream on the Bally Sports app.
Well, what was a 7-0 scoring run for the Bucks got it down to a 6-point game here in this fourth quarter, but Indiana has since answered on an 8-0 run of their own. Here in this fourth quarter, they have actually outscored the Bucks now 10-9 as Indiana has hit 2 of 3 from distance this quarter. The Bucks 1 of 3, Milwaukee 4 of 7 from the floor, Pacers 3 of 6, but they've hit a pair of free throws, and that is your fourth quarter tally here, and it is presented as always by Network Health. They make health insurance affordable and understandable. If you're looking for individual coverage, Medicare Advantage plans, or even coverage for your employees, visit NetworkHealth.com. They've got a plan for you. So with inside of 7.5 minutes to play in this one, Milwaukee, as we reset things, has played hard. They have fought hard throughout this entire game, and they have done it shorthanded without Giannis, without Damian Lillard. And if you're just joining us, Bobby Portis was also taken out of this game ejected for a double technical foul and a shoving match with Andrew Nembhard with about 5 minutes left in the first quarter. In spite of that, the Bucks were within three at halftime, but Indiana opened it up to as large as what was a 17-point lead. However, the Bucks battled back to within six. Now they find themselves trailing once again, 108-94. It is a 14-point lead for the Pacers. Here's a pirouette inside, twirling his way down the lane was Middleton as he got fouled. He's going to have a chance at a pair of free throws. Chris tonight, 21 points, another valiant effort for the 12th year man out of Texas A&M. Came into this series 185 three-pointers and 74 career playoff games. That ranked fifth all-time for a player in its first 75 playoff games. By the way, Damian Lillard was ahead of him at third. He had 199 through his first 61 in his career. And Middleton has not disappointed here in these playoffs as he knocks down the first of two free throws. He's averaged 26.7 points a game. He has shot 54% from the floor, 8.3 rebounds a game, and 5 assists per game. And tonight has been another strong showing with 23 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. He has been asked to carry the load, and he has answered the bell. 108-96, Pacers out in front by 12. Nembhard on the other side, directing traffic at the top of the arc around the Turner screen, drives inside, lays it softly off the window and good. Pacers 110, Bucks 96, 6:46 to play in the fourth. Here is a handoff from Beasley to Jackson, now out top to Middleton. Middleton dribbling with his left hand, sends to the corner, catch and shoot three, Crowder couldn't hit. Rebound pulled in by Halliburton. Pacers now on a 10-2 run of the last 2:26. Here's an interception as Jackson steps in front of the pass from Halliburton. Drives the other way and rifles the pass to the corner. Beasley a head fake, now sends out top to Middleton. He works it to the right wing. Lopez lost it on the ground, but it's picked up by Brook again. Somehow he says, look what I found underneath, but he stepped out of bounds. He thought he was being fouled, and he might have been, but I think he stepped out first. That last turnover, by the way, from Halliburton was his third of the game. And for Tyrese Halliburton, as good as he's been scoring, we'll see a late substitution. We'll see if they get it in time. As Green was about to come in, they'll say he has to wait a little longer. But Tyrese Halliburton had 9 turnovers in the first 120 minutes of this series. How about just 7 turnovers in 176 minutes of the regular season against the Bucks? But he's got 3 tonight in his 28 minutes of playing time. Speaking of Halliburton, he misfires on a 3 short. Rebound batted around, picked up by Siakam. He couldn't make the shot on the second try. Thought he got fouled. He was in a scrum of green jerseys. Bucks go the other way with it. Middleton took a bump. He passes out left wing to Crowder. Back to Chris. Chris left of the lane, 5:43 to go in the fourth. 110-96 Indiana. Middleton flips up the shot. Couldn't hit it from the left baseline. We got a whistle and a foul. And this will go against Jay Crowder. Second foul on Crowder, and for the Bucks, their last foul to give. Both teams will be in the penalty the rest of the way. For Jay Crowder, fewest minutes played this year were in game 3 when he played just 2 minutes. Second fewest minutes were in game 1 this season. So his minutes have been curtailed, but tonight Crowder has played 13 minutes as he takes a seat on the bench. A.J. Green replaces him. Wide open lane for Nembhard as he drives straight through it and lays it in off the glass. Pacers trying to put the finishing touches on this one now as Jackson works it to the far side. 112-96, they've got the lead as Lopez goes galloping down the lane. Had the ball knocked away but recovers it and floats it up and in. Brook Lopez with 27 points now for the Bucks. The two old hands, Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton, have played pretty darn well here tonight. Actually, that's 25 for Lopez after that make. He's got 25, Middleton with 23. Here's Nembhard driving the other way. Powers his way inside, or right past Beasley, or right over Beasley, more or less, and floats it off the window and good. 4:46 to go now. 114-98. Beasley uncorks a 3, and he drills it straight on. Pacers on a 14-7 run still, even in spite of that Michelob Ultra 3 over the last 2.5 minutes. Going left to right, Nembhard into the front court. Dribble drive with the right hand. Lopez took a swipe at it, came up empty. That sets the table for a Siakam three in the corner. That rims in and out. Rebounded by Beasley off to Jackson. Jackson back to Beasley. Beasley was trying to get the pass into the corner. Deflected by Halliburton, who goes springing back onto his backside as he's held back to his feet. 114-101. Pacers with a lead. Jackson checks out. Pat Bev is in. Fans feel similarly about Pat Bev as they do about Brook Lopez. Or I should say about Bobby Portis, that is. Middleton was fouled as he was driving down low. So that's going to send Chris to the free throw line because Indiana is in the penalty. Neesmith, his fourth foul there. So Chris Middleton, off of his 10th 2010 game of his playoff career last time out, is two rebounds away from doing it again tonight. 23 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, make it 24 points as he hits the first of two free throws. Now 6 of 7 from the free throw line. Chris Middleton, and a timeout's going to be used by Rick Carlisle. So he will call his troops over to his side. Next game, it'll be coming up on Tuesday night. Have not seen a game time for that just yet, as the networks are still waiting to determine game times for Tuesday night. We know that that game will happen because the Bucks took game one, and the Pacers, though, would have an opportunity to close it out in Milwaukee on Tuesday night. You had a sense if the Bucks had to go any extended amount of time without Giannis in this series, it was going to be an uphill climb. Well, the climb got a heck of a lot steeper when they found out Damian Lillard would be unavailable starting today after he had was diagnosed with an Achilles, with a, what they're calling Achilles tendonitis, and unavailable tonight and likely the rest of the series, although nothing has been said for certain. Doc Rivers said we are not shutting him down before this game, but did not extrapolate as to what that means, aside from the fact that he is not officially done for the season. So it is going to be Bucks Indiana basketball when we resume with 4:12 to play here in the fourth. Hey, Bucks fans, you can help your Bucks defend home court series. Mention it coming back to Milwaukee, pivotal game five. You can still get tickets for that. That's presented by BMO at Fiserv Forum. To secure your seats, visit bucks.com/playoffs when the Bucks come back. We hope for what will not be the final time in this season, but certainly the postseason hopes hanging by a thread now for a Bucks team that has never come back from a 3-1 series deficit. 0-11 as a franchise in that setting, and if you're looking for bigger numbers than that, as this free throw is good from Middleton. The history of the NBA, teams have gone 13-268 all time when trailing 3-1. The Pacers are 7-0 in that setting as a franchise. And it appears to be heading that way as Nembhard takes it into the paint. Passes out to Siakam. Siakam drives. He was fouled and he got the shot to go. Are they going to count it? They have not seen indication just yet. I believe they are. So it's back to a 13-point lead for the Pacers, 116-103 with 3:53 to play here in this fourth quarter. You had a feeling if the Bucks were going to win this game, it was going to have to be of the 98-96 variety. Bigger scoring meant bigger trouble for a Bucks team that was out, is without now three of its biggest offensive weapons, three of their top four scorers. Free throw goes down for Siakam. Here comes Milwaukee going the other way. Middleton's into the front court. Hands the ball to Beasley. Beasley will give to Beverly. Beverly top of the circle with the ponytail hanging out the back of his head and the braids as he now gets the ball back. He's on the left elbow. Retreats back out now to the left wing. Flicks the pass to Middleton. Middleton fades and fires from the left baseline. That one bounces a couple times on the rim. We got a foul against Pascal Siakam. So that's going to send Brook Lopez to the free throw line as he was fouled from behind. Again, I just don't see a whole lot in the way of reason to hang your head if you are a Bucks fan watching this team tonight. They have been way shorthanded, but they have not been short on effort or grit tonight, and they needed every bit of it and then some. Free throw on the first of two misses from Lopez. That's been his kink in the armor here tonight. Brooks had a great game, 27 points, 9 rebounds, but now 0 of 3 from the free throw line. Miles Turner was called for that last foul. It was his fifth. And now with 3:29 to go here in this fourth quarter, Lopez will miss strong on the second free throw. Rebound is taken in by Halliburton. He'll go the other way for Indiana. He's into the front court with 15 seconds to shoot. 3:20 to play here in quarter number four. Halliburton sends the pass to the near wing. Nesmith now to Siakam. Siakam pulls up right elbow and he knocks it down. 119-103. Pacers by 16. 3:04 to go in the fourth. A.J. Green on the right wing. He uncorks the three. Missed it too strong. Rebound pulled in by Turner. He will hand to Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton into the front court. Fans can smell it now. Three-pointer. Back iron strong on the jump shot from Siakam. Siakam has not shot it well tonight. 6 of 13, 0 of 4 from 3. Make it 6 of 14 with that miss. Beasley, dribble drive with the left hand. Draws some contact. Powers through it on the defense from Nembhard and flips it up and in. 2:30 to go in the fourth. 119-105. Pacers ahead by 14. Siakam takes the pass into the front court. He will dribble that clock down now. Bucks will have to win three consecutive games as Turner says, let's add another one for good measure. 7 3-pointers on 9 shots for Miles Turner. Wow. Timeout Bucks. Miles Turner, 36% three-point shooter in the regular season. He had hit 10 of 25 coming into this, but his 17 three-pointers in this series, the most for a center in franchise history, and I got to wonder what the team record is for three-pointers in a series now for Indiana. As the Bucks trail it 122-105 for Turner, he has been exceptional again here tonight. Last two games, 25 and a half points a game, 8 rebounds a game, shooting 53% tonight. The big fella is 29 points on 10 of 17, shooting 9 rebounds and 4 assists. He has been locked and loaded in his 6th all-time playoffs, trying to advance to the second round for the first time in his career, the longest tenured Indiana Pacer. Off of a 2-year, $60 million extension, January of last year, one of the largest in-season extensions ever offered. And he has certainly been worth the price for the Pacers here in this series. So with 2 minutes and 10 seconds to go, Doc Rivers uses that timeout, his final timeout, to throw in some of the reserves, as we'll see Thanasis Antetokounmpo check in along with Marjon Beauchamp. They will join A.J. Green, Andre Jackson Jr., along with Malik Beasley on the floor. Jackson races into the front court, slips down, loses the ball, picked up by Nesmith, ahead to McConnell. McConnell takes it inside, missed the layup, rebound ripped down underneath. A block shot on the attempt from Jackson, and now Thanasis knocks it free, picked up by Green. Green's going the other way. Chris Middleton does get the double-double, another 20-10 game for Chris. Mentioned he has done that a number of times, and as the whistle and a foul on the fight for the rebound there, talked about that fact for Middleton. Those 20-point, 10-rebound games, this is the 11th of his playoff career. All right, we had a foul against the Bucks, evidently, a loose ball foul, which is going to take it all the way to the other side of the floor because it was the 15th foul for the Bucks with a minute 43 to go, so that will send Nesmith to the line. So Aaron Nesmith with a couple bounces will stare at the rim and connect on the first of two. Nesmith, last year 10 points a game, this year 12.2. He is not shot it well in this series, coming in just 23% from beyond the arc after he shot 42% in the season. A career high, 42%, makes a second free throw tonight. He has got 3 of 5 from distance as he has solved his shooting woes, at least for the time being. He's got 13 points after that second free throw went down. 19-point lead for the Pacers. That is their largest lead. Beauchamp tees up a three and splashes it through from the top of the arc. And I think the coaches are really afraid to end this game with all their timeouts in their pocket. This game is well in hand, but now Rick Carlisle says, I'll see your timeout and raise you one. As he uses his penultimate timeout with a minute 30 to play here in this fourth quarter. And a 124-107 game. Nobody in a hurry to go anywhere as we've got game 5 coming up. These fans, I'll tell you that much, they are not in a hurry to go anywhere. They've been standing for virtually all this game in the lower bowl in this arena that has seen its third and final phase of a $360 million renovation project completed before the season. It is the second most expensive renovation in NBA history, behind only Madison Square Garden. And it assures the fact that the Pacers will still be playing in Indianapolis for the next 25 years. It would seem somewhat sacrilegious to take a basketball team out of the Hoosier State. So with a minute 30 to go, it's going to be Indiana basketball. We'll see what the lineup looks like for the Pacers after this stoppage. Jarace Walker is out there now for the Pacers, as is Ben Shepherd, T.J. McConnell, along with Obi Toppin. And that, I think, is Isaiah Jackson out there. Yep, he is out there wearing the white headband, the 30-year pro out of Kentucky. So the Bucks will counter with Andre Jackson, along with Green, Thanasis, again, Beasley, and Beauchamp. 3 seconds to shoot. Pass goes to Shepherd. He'll drive baseline, and he just got that shot off, but it didn't draw iron, as it was Jackson pirouetting down low, and he was under the rim, just throwing up a desperation attempt to get it toward the rim. Bucks will have it out of bounds with 1:06 to play now in the fourth after the shot clock violation. Bucks, through it all, have shot 51%. That's just a fraction off of what Indiana has shot. Beauchamp tees up a three and misses from the near wing. Rebound ripped down by Shepherd. Gets it ahead now to T.J. McConnell, a Bucks team that trailed by just 3 at halftime. Got it back to within 6 here in the fourth before Indiana took control, opening this thing up late. Moving that ball around. It is McConnell getting it now to Shepherd. He'll shovel the ball off, and it's off the hands of Walker out of bounds. Back to the Bucks. Indiana ball, or Bucks ball, I should say, going the other direction. Jackson is into the front court, hands it to Green. A.J. Green zeroes in and knocks down the three-pointer from straight on. Michelob Ultra 3 gets it back to 14. Inbound pass to Shepherd, who took a hard foul at the hip from Andre Jackson, and fans don't like that call. Or at least they don't like the foul. With just 23 seconds left and the shot clock off now the rest of the way. And this thing is just a matter of arithmetic at this point. So Andre Jackson commits what goes as his fourth foul, and it sends Shepherd to the line where he sticks the first of 2 free throws. Second one on the way. It's up and it's good. 126-110. Beasley will move it into the front court for the Bucks. Stops, pops, three-pointer, all net. And here comes Indiana the other direction. Shot clock is off. We'll see if the Bucks call off the dogs. Shepherd will scoop it back to McConnell. McConnell bobbing and weaving with Thanasis on him. Thanasis trying to get his hands on the ball, and the final seconds will tick down. There's the final horn. And the Pacers have taken a 3-1 lead on the shorthanded Bucks with a 126-113 win here at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. We'll step aside, come back. It is the Bucks postgame report on the other side of this timeout on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, back again here from downtown Indy as the Bucks drop this one by a final of 126-113. They were playing without Damian Lillard tonight. They were playing without Giannis Antetokounmpo tonight. And then for good measure, it was Bobby Portis, who also was ejected with about 5 minutes to go in the first quarter on a double technical foul. And that was just too much for the Bucks to be able to overcome here in this one tonight. A reminder that this copyrighted broadcast of the National Basketball Association may not be retransmitted, reproduced, rebroadcasted, or otherwise distributed or used in any form without the express written consent of the NBA. It is presented by BMO, the official bank of the Bucks. Let's go Bucks, by Jockey for nearly 150 years. Jockey has been providing comfort and caring for generations of families, because when you're comfortable, nothing feels better. Shop jockey.com. By Go Right Way, make us part of your next trip for stress-free service to and from the Milwaukee and Chicago airports. By Bally Sports Wisconsin, the heart to the Milwaukee Bucks fan. By Freightert and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network. By Uline, the shipping and packaging supply specialist. By Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. By Cousin Subs, we believe in better. And by Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. All right, when we come back, it is the Bucks postgame report. Justin Garcia will join the conversation. We'll hear from Doc Rivers, that and more straight ahead here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Just like the Milwaukee Bucks, Jockey is proud to call Wisconsin home. Always family-owned, we embrace the core values of family, community, and tradition. Our values hold us to a higher standard that goes beyond making high-quality underwear and apparel. For nearly 150 years, we've been providing comfort and caring for generations of families. Because when you're comfortable, nothing feels better. Jockey. Take 25% off any Jockey.com purchase with code word BUCKS. Exclusions apply.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
Beautify your entertainment space with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Hi, this is Gina Della from Pella. Turn your ordinary space into something extraordinary with brand new Pella windows. Plus, getting the perfect windows and doors for your home has never been easier. Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months, or no down payment, no interest, and no payments for up to 18 months. 18 months if you book before April 30th. Take ownership of your living space and make it a place worth living with Powell Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Cousins Subs wants to make you a VIP. On Friday, May 10th, Donald Driver and Jordan Love will be hosting the annual Green Bay Charity Softball Game at Fox City Stadium in Appleton, Wisconsin. And this year, Cousins and Double D are teaming up to offer you a chance to be their VIP guest. The VIP winner will win a package that includes a meet and greet with Donald, VIP seating, food and beverage, and Cousins Subs for a year. Enter daily at CousinsSubs.com/softball. Now through April 30th, Cousins Subs. We believe in better.
Final score from Indiana. The Pacers take a 3-1 lead, 126-113. They knock off the Bucks tonight as we're rejoined by Dave Kane for some final thoughts on this one. Already a pretty big ask, knowing there was no Giannis or Damian Lillard. But to lose Bobby Portis very early, we're talking about basically 70 points a night that were off the floor for the Bucks in this game. The fight that group showed for all 48 minutes. Three-point shooting was a big story in this one. We'll get to that in a moment. But the way that group, especially in the first half, fought to make this a three-point game, look, it's not a moral victory, but it's exactly what you were hoping to see from this group.
It was commendable. That's what it was. It was very commendable, and I thought not just the first half. I mean, look, they got it down to a six-point game again in the fourth quarter. Yeah. I mean, this thing was really all the way through to the fourth quarter before it finally opened up and the dam broke. But shoot, they even got it down to a five-point game again. Well, I beg your pardon, that was in the third. But, you get it down to six, and then it starts to open up in the final 8 minutes or so of this game as Miles Turner just started to go roughshod. But, you know, that's the other part. A team hits 22 three-pointers on 43 tries. Even if you've got all your horses, that's tough, much less – as shorthanded as this group was, and some of those were probably more open than Doc Rivers would like to have seen. But again, this was, you knew it was going to be a stiff challenge. The question was, how would Indiana respond? And I thought in the first half it was not a great response from the Pacers. But in the second half, Tyrese Haliburton went on that 9-0 scoring run of his own. And then we saw Miles Turner get hot. And between those two guys, they really put their team in a position to be able to avoid any drama late.
You really needed a shooting variance game with all that scoring out of the lineup for you. You got one, but unfortunately it was not the way you were looking for it. Came for the Indiana Pacers, and, you know, they shot the ball 51% from three, but really a lot of that was Miles Turner, as you just mentioned. Tyrese Haliburton started hot from three, but Miles Turner 7-9 on threes. Another career high, or matches his career high in the postseason. You know, the first two games of this series for the Pacers, the story was Pascal Siakam. And in these last two games, it's been Miles Turner.
Yeah, he's been exceptional. I mean, you could even make the case the last three games. Again, he averaged 25.5 points a game the last two, and tonight he puts up 29. You know, I mean, he was pretty dynamic in this game. There's no two ways about it. And so, you know, look, you go home. This thing is not done yet. I gave the numbers. It's not real encouraging, the history in the NBA of teams that go down 3-1, much less for the Bucks, who have never come back from 3-1, much less shorthanded. But I don't know. You never know. So especially who knows what the situation is with Giannis. Does he play game five? Maybe. If he does that change things? Yeah, it does. But you're still going to be without Dame, I have to think, probably for the remainder of this series. Again, I don't know that, but just kind of reading the tea leaves of what my eyes are telling me. So we'll see. But bottom line, you know, all you can ask for is hustle and grit in a spot like this, and I think the Bucks got that.
Yeah, and, you know, to your point, look, neither of us are doctors. We don't know what the prognosis is on Damian Lillard. Not Giannis either. Doc Rivers did say before the game he's not willing to rule him out yet, but that doesn't necessarily mean, hey, Dame's going to be back for Game 5 or, if necessary, Game 6. And, you know, that's the spot the Bucks are in now, as you mentioned. It changes massively if Giannis is able to come back. But there's moments that you've seen in stretches in these last two games, a lot more of it on Friday night, but there are things you like that I think we'll certainly see Doc Rivers go to and say, look, if we keep doing this, we'll
and
find
speaking
success.
Speaking of Doc Rivers, he's at the podium right now.
Bench. So just
I mean, were you able to say anything to him in the moment?
No, it was just too quick. It happened too quick. You know, obviously, we wanted them to be in the game, you know, but I haven't seen the play. I don't even know what happened, to be honest. But that clearly hurt us. There's no doubt about that. And we would have loved them to stay out there. But I really don't have any comment because I didn't see the play.
So even just the idea that he lost his composure enough to have that happen so early in the game where for 2 days you talk about how much you might need him.
Yeah. It was a tough break for us. There's no doubt about it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you're in the league, you can still learn. All of us can. I thought it'll probably be a lesson for Bobby and all of us, you know, for all the young guys. Playoff games are high emotion. They really are. And so that happened. And, you know, you can't get it back once it happened. So
they shoot 50% from three pretty much the entire game.
Yeah.
Just what did you see defensively that they were getting those?
We were just scrambling. You know, listen, we knew the deal coming into the night. We knew we were going to have to trap more. I said that before the game. We were going to have to do things that we don't do traditionally. I thought we hung in there. I really did. You know, halftime is a three-point game. Chris goes down. I thought the one big play was Halliburton's three to start. The third, we were trying to foul, and then we end up giving him a deer shot. And then he makes two more. Like, I thought overall, up until that point, we were guarding him really well. You know, we got loose a little bit. You know, we had a lot of little breakdowns, but we were doing things, honestly, that we haven't done a lot. Our guys were playing their hearts out, like they really were. I love that our team, no matter what anyone thought, they believed we could win this game. And it shows a lot about this basketball team. And what I loved about it the most is after the game, they're disappointed that they didn't win the game. This is a great group to coach, I'm telling you. I know we have a lot of stuff going on, you know, just clutter, injuries. But, man, I'm loving this team every second that I'm with them. And today is another example of that.
I don't know if the plan was to have any Gallo minutes tonight.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Just those kind of minutes where you had to go to him to create a little bit.
Yeah.
What'd you see?
He was terrific. You know, he was really good, made some great plays for us. He hadn't played a lot, you know, so you could see he was getting gas. You know, I think I wish I could have got Brooke some rest. You know, Brooke didn't miss free throws like that. That's fatigue. You know, it's just amazing. Pat gets hurt. Pat Connaughton was injured again. You know, it's just like it was the walking wounded over there. You're trying to find just able bodies. But I thought our young guys all played well and was very proud of all of them.
Actually, my next question is the guys who did play. Chris, we know, went to the back. Yeah, I think maybe on his ankle for a minute. Just
yeah.
How did the guys, you know, Beverly, how did they come out of this game?
I don't know. I don't even want to know. I have not talked to our medical guys because I wanted to have some good news for about 5 minutes. Every time I talk to them, it's not good news right now. So I'm going to just, maybe if I don't talk to them, they'll be okay. So I'm going to avoid them for the rest of the night. But I don't know. I know. Chris, I do know that he's going to be okay. He felt pretty good after the game again. Pat, we're going to have to get something checked. I think it's his ribs or something, so we're not sure. Yeah.
And then just, I mean, the challenge now, 3-1, you know.
Yeah, just one game at a time. You know, here's the deal. We have two games left at home. They have one game left at home, right? That's how you can look at it. And so the first thing is we have to win the first game at home. And then we can talk about the rest after that.
Was it just their style and force of will that got that game so scoring and the limitations you guys had defensively?
Yeah, just their intensity, their speed, and our fatigue, I thought, played a big part in the second half.
And kind of following up on that thought, just – was it just trying to keep pace with them, or was it a thought trying to try to slow them down in the sense of?
Yeah, we did a little bit of both. You know, I thought we did a great job early of posting Brooke. I thought we got away from that in the middle of the third, or maybe the beginning of the fourth. There was a stretch. I'll watch it on film. We came out of two timeouts to post the ball, and instead we tried to draw and kick. We kind of broke plays, and I thought the intentional posting of Bobby, you know, the first couple, Brooke all through the first half, and Chris kept the pace down for us. And I thought we got away from that in the third quarter, to be honest.
Hey, Doc, what did you think of Andre Jackson Jr.'s effort? Because you talked about it after the last game, and this game he was even more involved, it seemed.
Yeah.
I saw you coaching him up a lot during this game.
Yeah, you know, he just plays hard. You know, there's times he's going so fast, you want to just slow him down, you know. But I love his intensity. I love his makeup. I just love his makeup. Like, he's a competitive. He wants to compete. He wants to win. And he doesn't do anything for himself. You know, everything about him, you know, you could tell he was at UConn and they have that team thing. Because everything he does is nothing about him. It's always about the team. And that's a pleasure to coach.
Back here again, Doc. Obviously, you've been doing this for a long time. Just what is it like for you as a coach where you see two guys go down, you're not sure at the moment whether or not they're going to come back? Is it just sort of looking for answers throughout the lineup?
Yeah, we just were searching. We ran stuff that and they actually executed a lot of stuff that we have never run. They did a lot of good things tonight. And who knows? We may go back and watch the film, and maybe we found something that we can add to the series in the next game. So just – I don't know if I had a situation similar. I think Dame reminded me of all people that in Portland, I think Chris Paul broke his hand. And 5 minutes later, I think Blake tore his hamstring in the middle of a playoff series. You know, other than that, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this as a coach, for sure. But we'll be okay.
I would say the update you gave us about Giannis pregame was the most optimistic you've been about him to this point. We don't know whether or not he will play. I don't know if you know whether or not.
We, include me?
You as well.
Yeah, you're right.
How do you allow that to not become a distraction?
It's not. We don't talk about it team-wise. We didn't talk about Dame today. We didn't talk about Giannis today. We don't talk about injuries. That's never been something I've done. All we talk today is the guys and winning the game. Like, there's nothing we can do. We can give Giannis and Dame support and get them healthy, but we're not going to put them in harm's way. That's number one. We're just not going to do that. And we're going to play the guys that are ready to play.
What have you learned about Chris in these last few games, and even on a night like tonight?
It's just tougher. I knew he was tough, but his mental toughness, his ability to score at his pace is unbelievable. He's been fantastic. I mean, again, there's a lot of things I'm still learning about these guys, and Chris is definitely one of them, because I didn't have Chris most of the time I've been here. So it's really nice to see him. And he's healthy. Like, when Chris Middleton is healthy, he's a problem.
I know he's not often a talker, but it does seem like he can yell pretty well at people when something goes wrong. And that's his way of, you know, being a verbal leader.
Yeah.
Just what have you seen from him as a leader?
He's been great. Like, he's a high IQ guy. We have great communication. You know, even in timeouts, I often ask, you know, left, right, where do you want it? He actually gives you an answer. You know, most players will say they don't matter, mine, which they're not telling the truth. Chris gives you an honest answer. Reminds me a lot of Paul Pierce in that way. Like, Paul and Chris, they know where they want to score. They know where they want the ball. And then they actually do it. He's been a joy to coach. Thanks, guys.
Bucks head coach Doc Rivers as the Indiana Pacers take a 3-2-1 advantage in this best of seven series. So, task for the Bucks is three straight wins, needing to avoid elimination, the exact same spot they were in a season ago, where, again, they lost in the first round in five games. That came as a one seed. But the notable things and similarities, for all intents and purposes, Giannis missed the first three games of that series, left at about the 10-minute mark in the first quarter, and did not play in games two or three. So injuries, unfortunately, for the Bucks, third straight postseason that has played a role here. You lost Chris Middleton in game two of the postseason in 2022 when you were defending your championship. The Giannis injury or absence we mentioned last season, and now you've yet to have Giannis on the floor in any of these four games. Damian Lillard did not play tonight. Does not sound encouraging for Damian Lillard's return in the immediate future in this series. Chris Middleton hobbled as well. We did not know if he would play Friday. And you add to it losing Bobby Portis to the ejection very early in this game. And it is a big hole the Bucks are going to need to climb out of beginning Tuesday when the series returns to Milwaukee. That's what Doc Rivers mentioned. Two of the final three games will be played in Milwaukee, but you have to get to those final three games. And it starts on Tuesday, game number five between the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. We will get to all of the numbers from this one coming up on the post-game show after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
A cancer diagnosis shouldn't have to mean living without joy or optimism. At the Friedert and the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Network, we're pushing to put cancer in its place. By bringing together teams of leading specialists who are pioneering ways to treat every type of cancer, and by unleashing promising new clinical trials, let's push ahead until every cancer diagnosis is a story of survivorship. To learn more about breakthrough cancer care, visit Friedert.com/cancer. Heart disease won't stop us. Diabetes, allergies, cancer. Nothing will keep the Friedert and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network from pushing Wisconsin ahead. We're constantly raising the bar for medical excellence and providing more ways to receive it, so you have it for all your health needs, big and small. Let's push ahead, and we'll make life here as great as it can be. Visit Friedert.com to find out how.
This is Bucks OT.
Takes it into the paint, attacks the rack, sends it down with a grown man dunk. Oh, the Greek Freak, he's eaten now.
A final look at the game and a preview of the next matchup on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Justin Garcia back on the BMO Bucks Radio Network as the Bucks come up short in Indy, 126-113 the final. So the Indiana Pacers now one game away from eliminating the Bucks in the first round, thanks to another big performance from Miles Turner, 29 points, matching his playoff career high, which he set on Friday night in their Game 3 overtime win. Turner 7 of 9 on threes tonight, and that would prove to be the story of the game. For as much good as the Bucks did, outscored the Pacers in the paint, 48-38. They won the rebounding numbers, and especially on the offensive glass, 7 offensive rebounds for the Bucks. They turned those into 11 second-chance points. So you outscored the Pacers by 10 in the paint, by 8 in the second-chance variety. Fast break points, relatively even, 7 for the Pacers, 5 for the Bucks. Turnovers, also similar story. Bucks with 9, the Pacers with 8. Bucks scored 4 points off of those Pacers turnovers. Pacers scored 8 off of 9 Bucks turnovers. But really the difference in what proved to be too much for the Bucks to overcome. And we should add bench points as well. 32 for Indiana, 28 for the Bucks. Everyone that played in this game but Thanasis scored. And that came in the final 2 minutes of the game. What was too much for the Bucks to overcome was the 3-point shooting. Not only the amounts, but the percentage. The Pacers stood at 51% for the game. Were the Indiana Pacers. They knocked down 22 threes, outscoring the Bucks by 30 points on those points beyond the three-point line. That ultimately the story of the game. And the Pacers really shot above 50% in the high 50s every single quarter of this game. 7 of 12 in the first quarter, 5 of 10 in the second quarter, 7 of 14 in the third quarter, and then 3 of 7, the only quarter where they were just below 50% in the fourth quarter. Just too much for the Bucks to overcome, especially on a night you were playing without basically 70 points on the floor, with no Giannis, no Damian Lillard, and then just less than 10 minutes into the game, Bobby Portis ejected on a double technical foul. And the Bucks struggled to find that consistent offense. They gave it everything they could. It was a valiant effort from this team, but just too undermanned. And the Pacers now push the Bucks to the brink of elimination with this victory tonight. Again, 126-113, the final in Indiana. Bucks did not win the game. They did, however, win the opening tip. And in doing so, they have scored another $500 for Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, donated by Sargento. Sargento, the official cheese of the Milwaukee Bucks. As a team, the Bucks handed out 26 assists. They were led in that area by Andre Jackson Jr. 7 of those 26 assists, including our assist of the game, brought to you by Freightert and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network. As for the Bucks' individual scores, Chris Middleton, another big game for him. 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists from Middleton. He did go 0 of 4 on his